You know, one of the things that happens at Hillview, you never know what's going to happen in worship. I didn't know that was going to happen today in worship. So I'm a little better at this service because I kind of caught all my tears and fears and all that stuff. And I'd like to wish you a happy Father's Day. And fathers, thank you for being here. Men of Hillview Heights Church, I want to thank you for something. I appreciate you being in church. I see you on a regular basis. I see a lot of you on Wednesday night in men's ministry. And more than that, I see you taking care of your wives. I see you raising your children. I see you working hard. And I see you diligently about the kingdom of God. And so I want to give you my appreciation as your pastor that I can say this at Hillview Heights Church. There's some real men of God in this church. Now, for those of you all that are visiting, this is a salt church and not a sugar church. We have read through the scripture, and I have found not one place in the scripture where God said, "May my children be like sugar and sweeten the world with great platitudes." I've never found that. In fact, it says in Matthew, "May my people, may my children, may the ones that I have been forgiving and living in, may they be salt and light, salt and light." And so, men, I want to challenge you today to be salty. We need a group of men that got a little salt in them. Somebody say amen. Amen. I mean, we need some salt in the house. Now, young men, I hope you're going to find this. And some of y'all are going to be here in college for 4 to 5 to 10 to 12 years. And after you get done with your college career, I hope you leave here with some salt about you. Now, I'm serious about this. One of the things that we're losing in our particular culture, the United States of America, is men with salt. And we're going to have to buckle up, stand up, do things that God's called us to do, and we need to be salty. Young men, I'm going to challenge you to not be like the world you see. The world you see tells you to be like your wife. And girls, if you want to marry a girlfriend, shame on you. You ought to want to have a man. And a man will not agree with you all of the time. And if you got a husband that agrees with you all the time, you need to check him because he's out of salt. You done married a sugar stick. Because guess what? He's pleasing you and not pleasing the God that made him. And if he'll please the God that made him, then guess what? You'll be glorified. And let me tell you what, girl, you'd rather be glorified than pleased. You'd rather be moved by God than moved by him. God lasts longer. You would rather be given and poured into the things of the Spirit than you would to have the temporary bling of this world. You see, a man of God. So I'm going to take you to Matthew chapter 6. Never preached this passage of scripture on a Father's Day, but God spoke into my life and he said, "It's the prayer." I said, "Lord, what are we missing?" "It's the prayer." And I went, "The prayer? There's a lot of prayers." He said, "Yeah, but there's one I specked out for us." I went, "Oh, your prayer, the Lord's prayer." Well, let's look at the Lord's prayer. Matthew 6:9. First of all, just a heads up, before we get to the Lord's prayer, God says, pray and pray for real. Pray with salt. Ask him what you need. Now listen, don't babble before God. God is not impressed with our platitudes. Do you all know what I mean by that word? Have y'all ever heard somebody pray like this? "Oh, dear God, the God of all essence," and da 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 da. And they go through all these gyrations before they get to the point. Guess what God says? Get to the point. If you notice how the Lord's prayer is a lot shorter than ours. Because you know what God does? He gets to the point. Pastor Bobby, I'm glad that the Lord gets to the point. God got to the point in my life. God got to the point in your life. Klein, God got to the what? Point. He didn't say, "Well, Steve, I think da 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 da." He didn't do this. He went, "Klein, I'm a forgiver. You're a sinner. Come." And you said, "Yes." That changes everything. Salt? How many of y'all want to be salty? You better learn how to say, yes, Lord. If you want to be salty, you better say what? Yes, Lord. And I'm going to tell you what. Now, you men, I'm talking to you men. I'm talking to you men. I'm talking about being a real man. Coach Obi, I don't want any of these football players to leave here sissy. They better not. Boys, I watch you. When I see y'all hit soft, I want to come out there and put my foot up your rear end. Because God didn't call you to be soft. That ain't a redneck thing. That's a God thing. Go read that Bible. You know why we got soft men in this culture today? They've never read the Bible. King David was not soft. When he went to war, he didn't go to find a compromising position. When King David went to war, a man after God's heart, he went to win, not to negotiate. He went to conquer, not to compromise. Where are those daddies in the house in this era of time? Well, Pastor Steve, you need to calm down. Gary Dale, I've heard that since the moment I took breath on this planet. You need to compromise. You need to understand we're in a new world. Yeah, I'll tell you what kind of world we're in. Upside down and twisted. I'd rather have a world of order than a world of chaos. What about y'all? Well, guess who's got to get in order first? God's already in order. Would you agree with me? How many of y'all agree with that? Come on, work with me. If y'all want to sit and stare at somebody, y'all can do that at any church. God is in order. Beginning in right now. Would you agree? Got to get some sound theology here. Now, who's not in order? I'm out of order sometime. I mean, you can put a sign on me just like you see on a gas station bathroom. Out of order. How many of y'all remember those summer vacations? Every gas station you pull over is out of order in that one. I'm out of order. How many of y'all are out of order? You're out of order. But guess what? Now, let me show you the great news. God wants to put us in what? Order. So that's what we're talking about today. Let's look at this prayer. Verse 10, verse 9. Then how should we pray? Our Father in heaven, hallowed. You know what that word means? Holy be your name. How many of y'all realize we get to pray to the one that's in control? Daddy, daddy, you have authority because you worship the God of all authority. So as a father, Mr. Klein, this will happen one day. As a father, you got to hold the authority. If she has the authority, guess what you've done? You've given your God-given responsibility to her, which makes you a sissy. Now, some of y'all going to send me an email. Pastor Ayers, I'm offended that you call men sissy in this congregation. Well, if you wasn't one, you wouldn't be offended. See, I'm never offended when I hear the word sissy because I know I'm not. Here's how I know I'm not a sissy. Because I've stood up to where I had to stand. Now, men, I'm calling on you today to stand. I want you to stand, not in the gap. Stand as your daddy. Daddy's in the house. And when daddy's in the house, there ought to be some good things happening. How many of y'all got good things happening because daddy's in the house? Now, are you going to like daddy all the time? Believe it or not, my kids have not always liked me. I got one of them sitting in here today. And let me tell you what, I hadn't always liked them. See, I never played the game. Look at me, daddy, you don't like you. I said, well, let me in on a big secret. I don't like you either. So I guess we're going to have to, what? Love one another. Amen? Y'all, I know y'all find this hard to believe, but my darling wife, Elizabeth, and she's been with me now over 27 summers. Been with me since she's in high school. She has not, now listen, y'all hold on to your seats, because this is going to be hard for y'all to believe. She has not always liked me. Isn't that right? See how she said that so quickly? True. But let me show you something. This is the amazing part. She's always loved me. Now, where do you get that? Our Father who art in, how holy is your name. Now we got a responsibility. Second responsibility, fathers, put it in Jesus. Hold it to God. May you reflect what God is doing. Man, that's a father. I'm going to take the kingdom of God and reflect it at the house. Fathers, you ought to want your children to know who? Jesus. Because when they know Jesus, then they become a part of God's destiny. Amen? Now look at here. Your kingdom come, your will be what?
Good.
Okay, hold on. Don't go too fast, girls. Flow breaks. We're dealing with men today. Said you like y'all girls, y'all want to read the whole Bible. Listen. Here's the deal with the men's ministry. We go like that. In the beginning. What y'all think about that? See, in women's ministry, y'all go, in the beginning, God created the heavens and earth. By that time, we're lost. God did it. God created. God in authority. God holy. God kingdom. Your kingdom come. Now, men, there's a responsibility as father to usher in. Can you deal with this? The kingdom attitude into the house God has given you. So here's what that means. You are in a position to let the family know something greater is happening here than we can all see. You got to give that vision. Show your children that God is real. Men, show your children that God is what? Real. Stovall's one day, a long time from now. Not in the next few years. Because guess what? If you're going to be a good father, you got to be prepared to be a good father. Make sense? Y'all see what I'm talking about? Now listen, some of y'all being sharp, I'm impressed with what you're doing. You're going to be blessed because of it. You've honored the marriage covenant. Girls, number one sign of a real man is he can control his sexuality. That means if he can wait, then you'll be blessed. If he can't wait, you got somebody that can't control. And if they can't control, they can't usher in the kingdom. Because the kingdom isn't about the immediate, it's about the eternal. Somebody understand what I'm saying today? You see, the kingdom doesn't say right now. The kingdom says when it's right. You see, God is about perfect timing. Guess when the world will end? When it's supposed to. Guess when it began? When it was supposed to. Guess when you are going to feel the full totality of God at the exact time He's chosen to make that a reality. God is in charge. Oh, Father who art in heaven, how holy is your name. Your kingdom come. Now, that sounds so simple, but let me tell you what. Most of us fathers, we build in our own kingdom. I've had times when I've injected God's kingdom, and I'm going to be really honest, I've had times where I've wanted to build my own kingdom. I think finally before my kids got out of the house, we got it right. You see, names are important. I grew up in Ayers. I carry a line of hard-working men. You know what? If I was 30 years old, sitting in front of a TV screen at 9 o'clock in the morning playing Call of Duty while my wife went out and worked, I would have a generation of males that would be absolutely disappointed in my understanding of life. Because they picked up a pickaxe in a coal mine and they did what it took to make it happen. That downlined into me. Young men, I want you to hear something because the world ain't telling you this. It is not all right for you to get an education and not have a job. That is not all right. And don't you buy a bunch of clowny behavior somewhere that some of these young pastors have gotten together because they're a bunch of lazy individuals trying to find a theological justification for their laziness. There's not a theological justification for laziness because laziness is sin. Back in the old 1800s, when Spurgeon, their hero, preached, Spurgeon called it slothfulness. You know what that is? Playing Call of Duty at age 30 when your wife goes to work at 7 o'clock in the morning. Have I made myself clear? I mean, I just want to be clear. Because apparently we got some confusion. Or let me quote our beloved president.
Now let me be clear.
This is not appropriate. You the man. Go to work. And I don't want to hear this. I don't want to hear that. I'm tired of hearing this. I'm so tired of hearing this. Man, Pastor, I tell you what, there ain't no jobs. Well, tell me how 25 million Hispanics found one and they can't speak English. You know what? You know why? They don't demand their rights. They go live them. I'm going to tell you what. Some of y'all are going to demand your rights into hell. You're going to stand before God saying, well, you violated my rights.
God, you violated me. Father, I want to talk about my rights. And guess what you're going to say?
Oh, you want, you, oh, excuse me. You would like to go to heaven on your own merit. You have the right to go to hell. Oh. I think I'd turn to God's mercy. Amen?
Amen.
God, I don't want to demand my rights. I want to plead your mercy. God, I don't want to demand my rights. I want to plead the blood of Jesus over my situation. God, I don't want to demand my rights. I want to live in your hope. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Daddy, daddy, listen, be a beacon unto heaven to your children, to your wife, and to the people that surround you. You ought to just live like you're going to heaven. Amen. Let me ask you a question. If I was to give you an opportunity in January to fly to Duluth, Minnesota, or West Palm Beach, Florida, would you feel different on those two flights?
Yes.
Why? One reflects hell and one reflects heaven. Now, you can decide which one is which. I don't know about you, but in January, if I was headed to West Palm Beach, I would be in a much more reflective mood. Watch this. I've done it before. I've flown somewhere warm when it's cold. And guess what? I'll be going through the Nashville airport at 20 degrees in my shorts and my flip-flops. Why? I'm already there. You see, I'm not focusing on where I am. I'm living where I'm headed. That means kingdom what? Come on earth, be done. Now listen, Daddy, you are a reflection of heaven, whether you want to be or not. So really, guess what you ought to be giving those children? Heaven. Give your children heaven every minute you can. So how'd you raise your children? I gave them heaven at every opportunity possible. I gave them heaven in the way that I directed them. Why? Because we have a responsibility. Daddy, you got to stand up to this. You got to stand up to this. See, here's what I don't understand. Let me tell you something spiritual. Let's talk about spirit. I hear all this spiritual discussion. I tell you what's spiritual. Let me tell you how I was spiritual. I went to school and got my education. I slept 4 hours a night. Elizabeth slept less than that. We worked hard because we wanted to prepare the ability to do this. Give us today our daily bread. You know how spiritual I am? I get up and go to work every day. Guess what that's called? Spiritual. It's called spiritual. Pastor Keith, I believe that is a spiritual thing. Because it even says, I go over to the Proverbs and I go over to the Psalms, and it says, God blesses my toil and labor. Mr. Klein, you blessed these two kids behind you. You know why? Because you got up and you went to work and you worked 8 or 9 hours, 10 hours, whatever it took to make sure a blessing could pour into the next generation. You know what that is? That's real Bible.
You know what the Apostle Paul did? He didn't sit around and write theological journals. He didn't find what network he could create. You know what he did? He worked so he could preach. You know why we can't do that today? Kill half the ministers. Worked so he could walk into Corinth. So y'all didn't give me nothing. I labored and took care of myself so you could see the blessing of God. So on a daily basis, I could give you what God, man, you got to give. Listen, you will understand what it means to be a man when you lose this question. Not what's in it for me, but what do I need to give out of me into it? That's when you grow up. Not what's, listen, I got grown men, y'all don't get ticked off here. Now listen, you young men that are, you know, you're either prospecting pretty heavy right now or you got a fiance or you know one day you're probably going to be married whether you want to or not. It's going to happen to you, okay? You're on your way in some one of those situations. I want you to know the day that you say I do, here's what you're really saying. As a man, I'm willing to give for the rest of my life till death do we part. That's what that means.
Amen.
Now here's what a boy does. A boy wants to know what's in it for them. A man wants to know how they give into it and move it on. Look at the real men. There's not many of them in this era of time. Real leaders don't seek cameras and bumper stickers and book deals. Real leaders seek mission. In fact, you'll never know who they were because they don't look for the lights. They look to bring the light. Give us this day our daily bread. You know how great leadership happens? You know how great lives happen? You know how great families emerge? Daily! Larry, you didn't become a good husband overnight, did you? Emily worked in the power of the Holy Spirit daily. And you work daily. And now you're watching the next generation daily. And a prospecting generation daily. That's the way it works. Bill Rowena, daily. Give us this daily. Let me ask you a question. Is God sufficient to take care of us? Somebody talk to me. Is God sufficient to take care of us? Can you imagine Moses, man, what a problem. When you wake up, you got all these brothers and sisters, you got them drug out of Egypt, man, they had to leave on the run. Moses early in the morning, he's got a problem. They all want breakfast. And Moses is broke. You know, so he calls Aaron up. Aaron's kind of like Pastor Markell. Hey, Aaron, we got enough money to buy breakfast for each other. Man, I think they did a little cheaper breakfast for the Jews. They don't eat bacon. Imagine feeding Kentuckians in the desert. Y'all got any country ham, gravy, and biscuits? No. Can we get grand slams, Lord? No. So you know what God does? He provides. Somebody understand what I'm saying? This is where it starts. What did God do? He sent those magical frosty flakes to the people every morning. Manna. You know they had to be frosty flakes. Because I could eat frosty flakes for 40 years, baby. Never complain. Tony the Tiger. In fact, it makes me just feel good thinking about them right now. I've been banded from Frosty Flakes for years. Elizabeth has reoriented my diet. That's probably why I'm still preaching to you guys today, all right? Some of y'all say, well, she might need to change it back. I understand. Look at here. Give us this day our daily bread. God will give you what you need in that day. Daddy, you got to be there in that day. Don't miss this. We're about done, so don't miss this. Daily, you got to be with your children. You say, Pastor Steve, you don't understand. I'm separated. I've been through a divorce. They got a text. Text me. Honey, I love you. Do well today. Hey, boy, do well today. Thinking about you. Dad. Hang in there. Dad. Thinking about you. Dad. Now, you don't have to write long texts. They kid me. I was learning how to do this text thing. I didn't like passing notes at school. I just never liked all that stuff. And to me, all this texting is just electronic note passing. So my daughter sends me a text. Love you, Dad. And I just sent back the letter K, you know, okay.
know, it's good. She loved me. I loved her. Okay. I mean, isn't that what y'all do? Well, she looked at me and she goes, you're supposed to write back. You're supposed to write back. I love you too. I said, okay, I love you too. That's what I meant. And she goes, well, that's not the way it came across. That's what I hate about this text. Because I did it before I saw the commercial that you weren't supposed to drive and text. So I said, what's the fastest way to communicate? K, boom, send. Messed me up, though. I don't like texting because I miss the part of the communication where I see your eyeballs and whatever else God's doing. You know what I mean? Because how many of y'all have ever written something you really didn't mean? And you didn't mean to write it that way. It's just your grammar's not real good. So you're really trying to bless somebody and you end up cursing somebody because you got the comma in the wrong place. You see what I'm saying? I'd like to talk to them where we can work with this. Give us this day our daily what? Daily, Daddy. Thank y'all for being there, Daddy. Some of y'all been in situations where, with your children. You've been through pain. You've been through suffering. But let me tell you what. God's going to honor you because you've been daily. And one day there's going to be a great reward. Because you know what? God stays with his children daily who hurt and who are in pain and who need him. Daily. Stay at it. From the words of Mr. Moss, my father-in-law, Elizabeth's daddy, on this Father's Day, he'd take that big old finger he had every time we left the house. It was every time we left the house. And he'd grin and he'd go, keep working at it. And I didn't realize he is putting something in me when he did that thing with his finger. Because you know what? Sometimes I'll wake up in the morning and sometimes Elizabeth and I have had a little spat or a diplomatic discussion. And we're still in negotiations. We haven't written the bill yet. And I hear him say, keep working at it. Keep moving forward. Keep daily going in the direction God's called you to do. Those were words of wisdom. I hope you get a few along the way that'll keep you in the way and on your way. Make sense? Words of wisdom. Fathers, not only do we need to be givers, but we need to be the absolute image of forgivers. Look at what's important in this prayer. Knowing who God is, praying to God to come, asking the supernatural to be involved in our natural, giving on a daily basis, and forgiving others in life. Amen. I'm going to tell you, guess what? If we practice forgiveness, we could get off half the pills we take. I'm telling you, you say, well, Pastor Ayers, do you have a scientific study on that? No, I'm just telling you the truth. A lot of us are stressed out, anxiety ridden, messed up because we have an unforgiving, bitter heart. And you know what? You can't get rid of it until you accept forgiveness. Look at what's important. Forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. Now, a lot of us like forgiveness, but we don't like giving what? You know why? Because we all into ourselves. You say, well, Pastor Ayers, you don't understand. They did it to me. As long as you're doing it to your neighbor, then you should forgive them. But when you do it unto me, then it's really gotten what? It's bad. It's kind of like recession and depression. A recession's hard times as long as you have your job. A depression occurs when you lose your job. See, as long as it's happening to somebody else, it's not as bad. But when it happens to us, then we want to change the rules. Well, the rules don't change. God is a forgiving God. How many of y'all glad about that? Fathers, you need to be forgiving people. Your job is not to condemn, but to reconcile, renovate, and move your children reconditioned in the ways of the Lord. Forgive them and love them. Amen? Forgive them and love them. That's what a man does. He forgives. Men, you need to know how to communicate. You really do. Watch this. Let me tell you something, Ross. Let me tell you where we don't have men anymore. Our word's not our word. Is that right, James? That's what he says in the book of James. Your yes ought to be your yes, and your no ought to be your no. And guess where it starts? Parenting. Parenting. I can talk a little more about parenting now. When you tell your child you're going to do it, if they do that, then you got to do it if they do that. Even if mama's over the side, wait, don't hurt him. I ain't going to hurt him. I'm going to kill him. If you're raising a male son for the first 10 years of their life, they need to know death is a possibility. Then after that, you can start dialogue. It's a man. See, here's what amazes me. I got all these kids supposed to have all, you know, their attention. You know, you know what? They get around me. They don't have that disease. Because I look at them, I'm going to tell you what, we're going to pay attention. We're going to get this done. Let's go. They go, what are you going to do if I don't do it? I said, I'm going to take you out. Okay, let's go do it. See, because I'm a simple man. I figured it out. God made me 6'2", and he made my 2-year-old under 2 feet. See, he was showing me physically my responsibility. You see, I'm to be over and a blessing. So when they get up here at 6'4", 6'5", they'll understand who had authority. And now guess what you do with your sons and your daughters? You release your authority into their lives. Because guess what authority does? See, we've made it a bad word. It's a blessed word. Your father loves you so much, they had authority over. Guess what? My father loved me enough to say this. No. And I go, well, everybody else doing it. He said, everybody else doing a lot of things. He said, a lot of people going broke too. We're not going to do that. He said, a lot of people going to jail. We're not going to do that. I remember this one. Dad, everybody got their hair long over the back. It's cool. He said, I'm going to cool you. Now, at the time, I just thought that was awful. That my father wouldn't get in the groove. Keith, he didn't have a sense of fashion. I thought it was awful. Then as I grew older, guess what I knew? My father was putting a standard in my life. It wasn't about hair. My father was a very intelligent man. He knew hair length didn't change your personality. But what he knew is you better learn to live to some standard. Because what he knew is without a standard, things go to hell. What are we missing today in our lives? What do you think, man? Standards. It's a standard, isn't it? Well, we don't have any standards. Let me ask you a question. That little congressman ordeal we've been through, do you think that would have happened in 1950 even if we had tweets? You know what happened in 1950? His colleagues would have taken him out back and he would have had a conversation. And he wouldn't have announced his resignation. They would have announced it for him. In fact, it would have never happened because a man with that low of standards could never be elected back then. You know why? Because we didn't have a group of people with that low of standards. See, the only reason we got low standard leaders is because we've become low standard expectant. We don't expect our people to have integrity. We don't expect people to do what they say. You know why? I'm just wondering. I don't have this all worked out yet. You all think it with me. Could that be because when we grew up, our fathers told us one thing and did another? I'm just thinking. You reckon that's got some connection? Well, I'm going to tell you what. Here's the truth. There's a Father who art in heaven, and he'll do exactly what he says. Our Father who art in heaven, how holy is your name. Your kingdom come to earth. Give us this day our daily bread. Guess what? Forgive us of our sins and lead us not into what? But deliver us from what? Let's stop there. Guess what? Daddy. How many daddies I got in the house? Give me a yo up here. Daddies. You got a job. You're tough. You've been equipped to do it. Deliver your children from evil. Daddy. Never let a bum date your daughter. That bum coming into the house ought to know that she's got a father, and that father's not going to release her to anybody that will do evil. I think the young men that have come to my house, they understand that Clacy's got a daddy. Now, I don't like any of them just because they're a young man coming to my house. But I also have a wife. And she goes, now, I tell you what, you better be nice. See, I get prepped. I get like 2 weeks of prep before they come in. Now, Clacy's bringing this guy over here, and you better not run that smart mouth of yours or say something. She goes, you got to quit playing around. And then Clacy comes in there. Yeah, Dad, people think you're serious all the time. We know you're not, but they don't. I go, what do you mean, Clacy? Like when you joke around about those guns. I go, Clacy, I'm not joking. I said, I'm a Second Amendment kind of pastor. I believe in the right to bear arms and use them. Now be careful. Why? Now hold on. Here's the good news. You daddies know what I'm talking about. Well, guess what? Now daddies do pretty good on their daughters. Let me tell you where they don't do good. Their sons. Every man knows what a nagging woman is. And if you are a nagging woman, repent today and you won't be in this category. And if you write me an email about it, it's because you're a nagging woman. I mean, I just want you to see, you'll tell on yourself. Watch this. If your son walks in with some woman, you know he's going, why don't you say something?
He said, well, Pastor, you don't understand. If I say something, my son won't like me.
Yeah, I understand that. But if you don't say something, he might marry that. And then he will be punished. And he'll be saying, Lord, give me this day some help. You know if it's going to work or not going to work. Speak up lovingly, not harshly. Do you think that's going to work? And lead us not to temptation, but deliver us from what? See, if you don't push your children to do the right thing, you're not delivering them from evil. You're letting evil have them. Now let me tell you the deal. Evil will work. Evil will like you as it sends you to hell. So let me tell you how this works. You can feel good as you become destroyed.
So here's a little trick.
Back in the early 60s, we begin to change philosophies from what was right to what felt right. I want to give you, and I'm closing on this today. I'll give you three ways to never see the kingdom of God. Three phrases that'll keep you from ever seeing the things of God. You ready? I think, I feel, and I will always abort the kingdom of God coming through you. Because God don't care what you think. Now, that ticks a lot of y'all off. You go, well, I think God's concerned about my emotional... No, he's not. That's what you think. That's not what it says. Not one time did Jesus pause and ask the disciples, how you boys feel today? Isn't that interesting? Not one time in 3 years do we have a recorded record where the Son of God paused in the middle of the day to record the feelings of the disciples. Why? Because that's our stuff, not God's stuff. And God is a kingdom come, not an earth to kingdom. He's a kingdom to earth kind of God. Somebody hear what he's saying. Because when you get the kingdom here on earth, then this can take place. And lead us not in temptation, but deliver us from evil. So daddy's deliver with God. And let me tell you how you get delivered. You got to know Jesus first. That's the ultimate deliverance. There's only one way out of evil. Who is it?
Jesus.
So here's the great news, Daddy. Where you fall short, Jesus falls in. My children will tell you. Blake, were you raised by a perfect father? No. Were you a perfect child? No. But do we love one another in Jesus Christ? Yes. Keaton, I coached you. Were you a perfect linebacker in high school? No, sir. But did we have love and accomplishment in spite of mistakes? Yeah. That's the kingdom of God. See what I'm saying? It's real. So some of us need to be delivered today. You know how you do that? Lord Jesus, here I am. I've made mistakes. I've gone the wrong way. I've sinned against you. But today, deliver me, God, from where I am and put me where I can be. That's the good news. Fathers, if you've fallen short, guess what? Embrace Jesus. Yeah. Say, Lord Jesus, come into my life. Forgive me of my sins. God will take care of that. If you're a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, you've already received the Lord Jesus Christ, guess what? You need to get baptized. At 9:30 today, we had a father and a son baptized. That father said, I'm going to lead the way to show my son how important this is. You know how the Spirit moved? His son tapped his father and said, Daddy, Daddy, what about this Jesus? And the father looked at the son and said, He is the way. He is the truth. He is the life. Come on, we shall be baptized. Daddy, Daddy, you want to deliver them? Give them Jesus. You want to provide for them? Give them Jesus. You want it to last forever? Give them what? We got some great Hilltopper guys here. Guess what? You will be Hilltoppers for a little while. You will be followers of Jesus Christ for a forever while. So you must decide on a daily basis who you will be submitted to. The things of God always trump the things of man. And the things of God absolutely go beyond the things of man. So today I invite you to meet Jesus Christ. If you're a son that needs to ask Jesus in your life, a daughter that needs to ask Jesus in life, receive him today. Daddies, let's do the right thing, the God thing. Honor God's name, God's principles, God's standard. And guess what? I'm going to close where I started. How many of y'all need to pray and just say, Dear God, my salt has turned a little sweet. The Bible says salty. 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 And I haven't found a passage where God has called the men of God to be like sugar, but more like salt. Enhancing God's flavor on earth. Amen? All right, let's stand together. Y'all ready? Lord Jesus, so many beautiful people here today. Your children, your creation. Okay, listen, listen. Let the Holy Spirit move. Believers, right now on this Father's Day, I want you to thank God for your Father. I want you to begin to pray right now for anybody in this auditorium that needs to receive Jesus, that the Spirit of God would draw them to grace. Here's the greatest thing that could happen today. Whoever does not believe will leave what? Believing. Who has not been baptized will be baptized. Own up to that. Get that in order. Whoever hadn't prayed in a while, come and pray. Whoever's lost their salt will let God what? Resalt them. God put a salt through me. Put it on me. Now Jesus tells us this, better be warned. There comes a time if you're going to stay saltless, he said, then your path is worthless. So there's a time to step up. Let's step up in this moment. Fathers, think about this summer. Get those children to vacation Bible school. Watch this. Blow your wife away. Don't depend on her to get that done. You step up and say, I'm going to get them ready and we're going to go with it. Don't depend on them. Really blow your wife away. Curl your daughter's hair one Sunday morning and have her ready for church. It'll only be one Sunday morning, but it'll be the effort that counts. I want to be with you, honey. Even if it means putting those pink curlers in, I don't know how to use. I want to be a daddy of salt. Lord Jesus, right now I pray for the men and the women that need to be saved. Lord, right now that you would just draw them, and as you draw them and as you have drawn them, Lord, may they receive you. Say, well, how do I do that? Just tell Jesus, Lord Jesus, I'm a sinner. I've messed up. I know I need you. I believe you died on the cross. You're risen from the grave. Lord Jesus, come into my life. Pray that prayer. He'll answer it. I promise. Lord Jesus, come into my life. Draw me into your grace. Ask him for your grace. He'll give it to you. So that prayer sounds too complicated. This one works. Jesus, help. And the Holy Spirit will take it from there. I trust the Holy Spirit. If you haven't been baptized, let's get baptized. If you're dating somebody and you need God to confirm that, well, come and ask the Lord. Ask the Lord. If your marriage is in trouble, I'd ask God to heal it. You say, Pastor Steve, we've tried every marriage counselor in the city. Good. Have you tried the one in heaven? You might find out that he loves both of you. At least you can be in agreement over that. Amen? And he'll forgive all of you. Come on, let's let Jesus have it. Amen? There's people getting saved right now. Lord, open this altar. Blow us away with your movement. Let us be real. Lord, I pray there's no fear in the house today. There's only responses unto you. God, raise these young men up to be bold men. Raise these old men up to not quit. God, raise us up to be who you've called us to be. Lord, thank you for the fathers before us. And may we continue on with the Spirit of God. In the name of Jesus, come and be and celebrate with him. Come on right now. Altar's open. Why are you standing there when God will just put a blessing in your life in this time of ministry? Come on, it's open. It's open. Let God move on you.